Welcome back to yet another addition to the We Bombastic Few episode library. Today is a special one because we have reacquired Daniel. And with that, Daniel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm back from the great journeys I was having. I'm sure Brent and Lindsay filled you in.
What did we say?
Couldn't tell you.
Because I remember specifically it wasn't the Russians this time.
Right.
It was something about like...
We're not in contact anymore.
it was something about if someone didn't get enough money, Daniel wouldn't have a working pancreas anymore.
Yeah, I had to take it to them personally.
Season 4, episode 4, by the way. For those of you counting at home. Do you think people keep, like, baseball score sheets? Also, baseball score sheets. Why do they still exist?
How do you mean?
Like, you know when you go to, like, a baseball game and they'll give you, like, a sheet that you can keep track of yourself? Innings and, like, fouls and errors.
I didn't know they still did that.
I did not know that. It's been a
granted, the last time I went to a ball game was probably 5 years ago, but yeah, like you can still get those. Cool. And it's like, I guess if you're over the age of like 60, sure.
Oh, I'm sure they're still a thing. Like, I'm not going to argue that they're not a thing, but like they're not out there handing
them out to you. Why would you want
unless
to
you
do
ask them? Because like people just like that's right. Part of the experience. It's part of like how people remember baseball, so that might be how they want to continue experiencing baseball.
They should get with the times.
Next time we're both at a baseball game together, I'm going to keep a score sheet, and you're going to keep a score sheet, and my score sheet's going to be closer to the official one than yours.
Oh my goodness, we totally have been to a baseball game together.
Yes. At least
that's crazy.
Once. Probably like two or three times.
What do you mean two or... There's no way. I was gonna be like, there's no way we've been to a baseball game together. But we have.
At least
that's
once.
That's crazy.
And the person who's ranting about baseball, his name is Brent, if you guys didn't catch that.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, okay. Actually, I remember...
I'm a sports guy.
I remember the instance we're talking about when our friend got scammed on the train.
Yep. Absolute classic.
Oh, that's a good memory for me.
good times. Very, very long story. Or not too long story, but... Anyway, the synopsis of the story is we were riding the metro, and our friend gave up his seat for an older gentleman, and the gentleman proceeded to sit down and do the shell game, you know, where there's like shells and there's a bead under it, and you're trying to keep track, and he scammed our friend of like $30. arguably not scammed because he won it fair and square, but
because he kept like drawing our attention. What he would do is like, you know, it's pretty easy to track. He wasn't doing anything super fancy, but he would like say something, or like as soon as everyone's eyes were drawn up, that's when he would like make it disappear, like flip it to a different shell. That's my theory. Either that, or he was like rigged in some way,
or he was just really good at it. And you thought like that's the reason it worked, is because he looked really bad at it.
That'd be impressive. That'd be super impressive. He could make himself look bad, but he's actually doing some, like, crazy stuff.
That's welcome to the world of scams.
And hustling.
But the one thing I remember picking up is, like, every single time he would draw our eyes up. That's what I remember. So that's just my running theory. Metro scam theory.
So a PSA to all you people riding the metro away or to baseball games: don't trust older gentlemen you give your seat up to.
They will try and take $30 from you.
They will try and take your money.
Consensually, though.
And they will go off the train very fast once they hit a stop.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, today's segments are... Qualgrithm. Everyone missed it. Everyone wanted it back. The limited time event is back. And with that, the bombastic word is cabotage, the right to operate sea, air, or other transport services within a particular territory.
yeah, I can definitely see how I'm going to fit this word into.
Honestly, I already have my plan. Which, let's start this thing off. Qualgrithm. If you don't know, it's just the standard boring podcast that everyone else does. We want to get in on it too. Nothing crazy, no three-segment structure, just talking. And speaking of talking, have you guys seen the movie The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock?
No, that is one that has like been on my to-watch list for a long time, but I have never watched
You've recently brought it up to me, Brent, but no, I have not.
In fear of, I don't want to offend anyone who really likes the movie, because I know there are some people there. It's a boring movie. Take it off your list. But anyway, so in the movie, if you don't know, basically just birds start attacking people. That's the plot. All you need to know. And that's so awesome. I was thinking about it, right? And in the movie, it's basically seagulls, crows, and like a couple sparrows are the only birds that attack. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, there are a lot more birds than just that, right? And so here's the setup, right? You need to do your part in fighting the bird army that's trying to take out humanity. And so we've divvied up the birds among all the people. And so now here are your options. You're sent off to war and in combat, and here is your tallies. You either need to kill one ostrich, or 3 hawks, or 50 penguins, or 100 pigeons, or 200 hummingbirds. Which one are you going after?
One ostrich.
Wait, I'm armed?
No.
One ostrich.
No, I'm not armed.
You have nothing.
Except
your body.
Lindsay, you think you could take an ostrich?
I think it's going to be decently more plausible than trying to hit however many hummingbirds. Like, that's going to be excessively hard to hit.
And hummingbirds have got a pointy beak, right?
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure ostriches. I'm pretty sure ostriches are very vicious. But I'd come prepared. I'd come with some Kevlar.
Nothing.
And
you cannot have. I'll give you a t-shirt and some underwear.
The birds are also attacking me.
The birds want to see you die.
All right, and so I have to kill. What were my options?
Okay, so one ostrich, 3 hawks, 50 penguins, 100 pigeons, or 200 hummingbirds.
I don't feel like you want one that can be airborne.
Yeah, I feel like I have to go with 50 penguins.
But okay, so here's the thing though. It's emperor penguins is the and those are the big ones, and I had looked it up earlier, but it's not fresh in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they could reach it's 4.3 feet is how big they can get.
Okay.
I don't know.
So okay, they're only a head smaller than you, and there are 50 of them surrounding you. And I'm going to say you have to fight all of these and their home turf. So you're in the, you're not cold, but they can slide around and whatnot.
Okay. Well, that seems significantly more stacked than the other birds. What is a hawk's
turf?
What is a hawk's turf?
Air.
Their domain is the air.
Similar. I'm skydiving. I have to kill 3 people.
Let's just say they have cabotage across the entire U.S. and other places.
I don't know, because
and pigeons would just be any city.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So a city environment. I don't know. I guess hawks is in my mind, it's a forest or cliffs.
Okay. So again, arguing for ostrich, I feel like. You
well, and so an ostrich also can run stupid.
Yes,
fast.
An ostrich.
You cannot outrun.
But
an
you
ostrich.
Could probably squeeze into some spaces that it cannot. One and two.
You definitely
and
could.
Two,
but can you find a space quicker than it can catch you?
If you could get behind the ostrich, you could probably
okay.
get the win pretty easily. Because then you just have to get its neck.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they've got some muscly necks, though. I feel like it would be pretty hard. That's definitely the way you would have to do it. But
okay, does the movie?
I mean, unless you break its legs.
If they primarily attack with their beak, or do they Ike attack with talons.
Literally nothing happens in the movie. The birds attack like two times in the movie. But there is like, so I've read the book too, but it's been a
I thought it was a short story.
Or yeah, I was gonna say, or short story. I don't remember which it is. In school, but the like the main thing is they gouge out eyes, and that was the other thing. It was like there would be these like there'd be like a body, and it's like, well, how'd you die? Because you very much just have superficial wounds on you, like you have just been scratched to death, which I don't think was like
ostrich still.
I almost want to say hawks, but you'd have to find a way to not have them all on you at once.
And also haven't double checked this fact, but hawks can dive at something like 90 miles per hour.
Yeah. But because like their main advantage comes from being able to fly, but you can also cripple their ability to fly pretty like if you get a hand on their wings, like you can just like eliminate all of its advantage at once. So if you do that three times, then you
if you still have hands by the end of the third time, you're golden.
Well, you know, if it's coming at me at 90 miles an hour, like I'm gonna take a hit at 90 miles an hour, but so is it. So like,
I'm trying to think. So like, let's say you pick hummingbirds. Like if you can protect your eyes. And so, like, I basically imagine you have, like, one arm covering your eyes, and then the other arm is just wildly flailing, and, like, with 200, you'll grab them eventually, and, like, just grabbing them one at a time and, like, chucking them away.
Yeah, see, I feel like, I'm not allowed to wear any special armor. Can I wear, like... Correct. I guess I probably have, like... long pants, long shirt on.
Like you can have normal clothes, like you can't have anything more than like a hoodie basically. I'd say like anything beyond a hoodie is too much protection.
Gloves?
You can have latex gloves.
Latex gloves.
I don't know, because I like literally one target. You only have one target. It like yes it can go fast, but okay. Like, it's not going like 90 miles in the wind or have the agility of a hummingbird in the middle of the air. Like you can easily see, and like the neck is a lot easier to grab than a hummingbird flying around. So like yes, it's gonna come at you, but like I think you could.
I do like the all or nothing of the ostrich, right? It's like mano a birdo. Yeah. Like it's down to basics.
I just don't know enough about ostriches to like make that call.
I'm not claiming I know.
I don't know like how fast they are. I don't know like
their heck of a
strategy would be. Like if you could take out one of its legs, that's you know, that it should like not be too hard.
But I will say
I still think I'd take hawks first.
Honestly, I do think hawks as well, just because the like I feel like in the but they have really sharp talons. I don't know. I think I do go hummingbirds, just because like the I think you it would be overwhelming, but like I think they take so little damage before they become non-functioning that
how many hummingbirds was it?
200.
And it was, 500 pigeons or 50 pigeons?
100 pigeons.
100 pigeons.
But I will say, I think that, honestly, I do think the worst option is penguins, because, like, I don't even know how you take out a penguin.
No, like, they're blubbery, they're big.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are indestructible in my mind, and so...
Well, especially if you're on their turf.
Uh-huh. They can slide away, or they'd probably just push you off a cliff themselves.
Yeah.
But
50 was too many for especially emperors. Like mm-hmm. if they were like the little ones you see at the zoo, like I could maybe see taking 50 of them if you could find a way to deal significant damage, like a big kick or throwing them off a ridge.
All right, so in conclusion, we got one ostrich, three hawks, and 200 hummingbirds, and it's now, like, they're trying to take over our podcast, so it's us three against that.
Easy money. So,
we look forward to next week. 54.
Wait, what? 50?
204? Oh, my bad. My mind keeps going to 50, but we bombastic 204. Nailed it.
None of my Quagrotha material is that exhilarating. Also, don't expect much.
Yeah, mine are all pretty short.
Yeah, mine is. I was doing math the other day, and I, whatever. And I was just thinking, like, what the highest integer square I know off the top of my head, and I feel like Brent knows some wild one, but like consecutive. So like, obviously, like. Obviously, I could find out what 100 times 100 is, but I don't know every integer up until then. So, what is the highest one?
Okay, so it has to be continuous. Well, so I can calculate in my head fairly, like, I'd say in less than 30 seconds, I can calculate any square number up to 100. But, like, does that not count? Because I don't have them memorized?
I think more so memorized, but it's like, obviously, there's some gray area with, like, I mean, it's just a simple question, but like, it's, there's a lot of gray area with you're thinking of it, like, it's in your memory somewhere / it takes you 2 seconds to figure it out. Like, I don't know, I would say just off the top of your head, if you could do it really quick.
Well, yeah, so like 13 being like 169, which,
yeah,
I'm fairly certain of. And then so like 17, like I'd have to do a calculation for it, which would be really, so
why,
because so like I know a trick.
Why'd you jump from 13 to 17?
That's a good question, and the answer is I don't know how numbers work. I was thinking 169, right? And so, obviously, the next number is 17. No, okay, that makes so much more sense then, because then it'd be 196, and then 15 is 225. 16 would be 240.
Okay, but are you calculating?
Nope.
Or 256.
Are you able to calculate this because you know the previous one, or are you doing this just because you know?
So I'll reveal my secret to the world, which I don't like doing, but technically it was in a book and it's not my secret anyway. So let's take 37 squared, right? Don't know that off the top of my head, but a trick you can do is 37 squared is 37 times 37. You can separate that into 40 times 34 and then add 9. And so basically what you're doing is you're taking, so 37, the closest set of 10 is 40, and so the difference between 37 and 40 is 3, and so then you go for the, that's like one set of 37, the other one you take down the same amount, and so 37 minus 3 is 34, and then you multiply 34 times 40, which is like 1360. And then you add the difference you did, 3 squared 9. So 1369, I think, which we're now going to check to see if I'm an idiot. Yep, it's 1369.
I totally followed all of that.
I think Daniel, did you follow?
I stopped listening.
Right, cool. Okay, it's not that you...
So there you go, listener.
It's not that you didn't do a great job. It's just I am very visual, and I believe Daniel is as well. So it's not that you're like you're.
I mean, I'm.
I was tracking, and then I just got distracted, and then I came back in, and you were talking about something, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know what he's talking about." So I continued to not listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to start my own podcast.
So, okay. Math tips. That you get. That's still calculation, though. It's not like memory.
Well, okay. But because I know that calculation, I have no need to, like, it. Like I said, it takes me less than 30 seconds.
And so Brent only knows up to 13. So that's 16. What we learned today. Okay. I know I used to have up to 25.
Oh, memorized. Dang. Mine was 12. I knew 12 off the top of my head.
Give me 23 right now.
I don't have them memorized anymore, but 23 would be 400.
Using my
529.
Method.
No, I use my method, which is I do the, I forget the name of the math rule where you like separate it out. So like I did 23 times 20 plus 23 times 3.
The distribution.
Yeah. That's how I've always done basically multiplication. Because that was the first, because I missed the day where we learned normal multiplication. And then I was there when we learned the distribution rule. So that's how I've always done it in my head.
Yeah. That's how I'll do it just kind of depends. But like squares specifically, like the method that I talked about, like specifically when you get into like above 50 comes in handy.
Mm.
Sure. A lot more.
But let's see. Yeah, I know up through 12 just because multiplication table got super drilled into my
head. The heck did the multiplication table stop at 12?
And it's good enough.
I feel like you could, I feel like you could do 20, like, because the, like, most common in everyday life, right? I think the tens are used enough that it would make sense to go to 20.
It's okay, but
of course
you're
that
talking
means 400 versus 144.
You're talking about something we learned when we were like 8. I'm not going to make a bunch of 8-year-olds learn 400 values.
Why not? Well, like, at least for me, I think it would have, like, it would have harmed me because I think it would help, like, to see patterns and stuff quicker. So, but I don't know if everyone else thinks that way or would have been accepting of more of it, I guess.
I think the important ones are just, like, honestly, 1 through 10. Like, I actually think 12 is a good value. Here's why. Because, like, knowing 1 through 10, like, for me, like, that helps me do, like, the distribution rule pretty easily. Because, you know, okay, 9 times 9, the last number is going to be a 1. And then, like, what are the other values or whatever? And then I think just going a little bit past 10 shows that the pattern doesn't, like, it kind of continues. Like, 11 times 1 is still going to end in 1, like, 1 times 1. But 11 times 2 is going to end in, like, I don't know. It kind of shows there's differences between, like, multiplying with, like, 12s and multiplying with 2s, which could be useful.
Also, I will say, like, slightly unrelated, but I read about it in a book when I was in, I might have been high school. It could have been middle school. I think it was high school, though. About, like, multiplication. And so, like, you're taught in school, right? You multiply, like, from right to left. And the book I was reading was saying you should multiply left to right. And so, like, ever since I read that book, I multiply left to right. Do you guys do left to right or right to left?
I always multiply the big values first. And then that way I can just add on to the end instead of carrying values.
But, like, so if I said, like, 1369 times 5, right? Would you start multiplying 5 times 9 or 5 times 1?
Yeah, I would do 5 times 1,000, and then 5 times 300, and then 5 times 60, and then 5 times 9.
So left to right.
Yeah.
Lindsay?
Yeah, same.
Hmm.
But anyways, like, I have up to 15 memorized, and I could probably go a few paths that where I could calculate it fast enough that I could make someone believe I have passed that memorized.
Yeah.
So it's 144, and then 169, 196, 225, and then 16 is 256, which you could say I memorized, but really I just remember it from doing a quick calculation while Brett was going. And then 17 is like 170 plus 49. So, I don't know. I guess I'd say
289. And then 18 would be 324. 19 would be, see, like, so, yeah, like, yeah. 19 squared is really where it comes in handy, right? Because then it's 20 times 18, which is 361.
Well, there's another, like, pretty easy trick is you take the last square you know. So, like,
if
I wanted to know 16 squared, it'd be like, okay, so do 15 squared, and then add 15, and then add 16.
Yeah. There's lots of math. All right. Enough of the math segment of the podcast. But that's what you get
Lindsay,
for listening to a podcast.
What do you have
memorized
too? Is it, all STEM. Oh, wait, you said.
Yeah, I said 12 is the one that I could do just off the bat. Like, I would...
I think, but like, I wouldn't expect anyone to have more than 12 because that's what you're taught, right? So unless for whatever reason in your everyday life you were multiplying 13 by 13 regularly, like, I wouldn't expect anyone to know past 12.
I think I learned, I don't even know why I learned a lot of them. Some of them I learned from doing, what's it called? Ken Kens. And I was just mapping out all the... Do you know what Ken is?
Sounds...
It's Sudoku, but the, like, you don't have the big squares. So normally it has, like, the 3x3 grid and then the smaller 3x3 grids within it.
Sure.
So instead of the, like, 3x3 square, like, the little ones, it has, like, random shapes. And in the corner it'll be, like... 12 plus. And so if there's three squares in that block, you're like, okay, so it's three numbers that add up to 12. Or it could be like 4 divide. It's like, okay, so these two numbers divide to 4, etc. And so then you'll get like these crazy multiplication ones. And so I would map out all the possible values. And otherwise it plays like Sudoku, like 9 in every row, 9 in every column, but then like the only correlation within the squares is like the math with them. It's pretty fun.
Sounds like a nerd game for nerds.
That's right. That's right. You know what else is for nerds is flossing. And recently I was in Walgreens or something and I saw they had water flossers. I was like, oh, that kind of looks like, you know, what the dentist sticks in your mouth and, like, goes ham with. And I was like, well, it probably works well. So I figured I'd try it. It wasn't, like, crazy expensive.
Give us a price. How much did you spend on this water flosser?
I don't remember.
Ballpark it.
It was, like, either... It was either 20 or 40.
Fermi estimate it?
Yeah, let's Fermi estimate the price of my water flosser.
All right, so I know how many water flossers are produced in 1 year.
And if we know if we guess the profit of the water,
if we know the gross profit of all water flossing, anyway,
whatever. Point is, I had money burning a hole in my pocket.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? I'll try this because, you know, like, this seems a lot more convenient than tying the string around my fingers and then, you know, doing the thing. And so I was trying.
You know what flossing is. Just that description, doing the thing.
Whatever. You do the thing with the floss. Still didn't make it sound right. What? I have a water flosser. And I tried it for like a week. And I was like, okay. And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, what's better? Is it the string or is it the water flosser? And I was kind of looking at my teeth. And I was like, I have no idea how to tell if this is doing a good job or not. I'm just looking at my teeth. It's like, yeah, sure. Like, I can't like see like the crud in between my teeth, but like, what's really better? And I ended up having like just a normal checkup with the dentist, like a couple weeks after. And I was telling her, and she's like, oh yeah, no, like the string's a little better, but like if the water one keeps you consistent, then it's better.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge difference. It does a good job, was the big point. But for a while, I was just confused.
Okay, I have two things I want to say. Number one, you guys made fun of me a couple of episodes ago for saying that sometimes I went into, like, buy crazy mode and was just like, throw it in the cart. That's literally what you just explained. So, not just me. Second thing, can we talk about how the dentist judges you hardcore every time? Like, no matter how well or poorly you flossed, they're always like, you know, you probably should floss 18 times a day.
See, that, like, was definitely true for me when I would like not floss for like most of the year, and then just the week before the dentist visit I would floss. But like the last few times I've been to the dentist, like they haven't said anything. Same. Like, oh, yeah, looks like you do a generally good
job. Yeah. My problem, I went to the dentist this week actually, and the only critique they gave was really like, I still have my wisdom teeth, and they're like, we know it's hard to get there, but you have to clean them. And I was like, it's like I'm not trying. So that's all they pretty much said. Outside of there's a cavity on one of them.
Wait, so your wisdom teeth have pushed through?
My wisdom teeth are all the way through.
Did you get them checked? And they were like, yeah, you don't have to have these.
Every time I go to the dentist, they're like, oh, you got wisdom teeth? Are we keeping these? They look in. Like, yep, we're keeping these. That's what they like say every time.
You don't have a say in the matter.
There's just no need to take them out. Please, like, obviously, them. I could get them out if I really wanted to. But, like, there's more than enough space for them.
Okay. No, mine were like, I was having a decent bit of pain from them existing. Yeah. And they hadn't even come out of the gums mm-hmm. yet.
It's ridiculous how teeth that exist such that a large majority of the population is like extreme pain is caused by these teeth.
Do like, you think
why though?
Because like the big problem is that like they interfere with your other teeth, right?
Mm-hmm. They just like basically your body assumes you will have lost teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, do you think like the reason that is like, you know, because before we had like dental like significant improvements in dental hygiene, like people probably just like lost teeth and like, just pulled them out when they were in pain, and so like we just grew ones to replace them.
Huh. Makes sense.
I'd accept that. But in that case, I want like this would actually kind of suck, but like infinite wisdom teeth, right? As soon as you get those wisdom teeth pulled, like new ones start growing.
Man, I think there's an ad break in there somewhere.
I did hear down the pipeline. I think infinite wisdom teeth is we're having talks with them right now.
Really?
But wow. Yeah. But so actually speaking of sponsors, I suppose this is as good a time as any to talk about the actual sponsor for this week's episode, Pre-Solved Rubik's Cubes. Now, have you thought to yourself, I would love to be able to solve a Rubik's Cube, but I just don't want to learn the algorithms, take the time to really just understand how it works? Well, not a problem anymore. With pre-solved Rubik's Cubes, they come pre-solved, and I know what you're thinking, normal Rubik's Cubes come pre-solved. That's dumb. But with the pre-solved Rubik's Cube special technology, they cannot be turned, and so it will always be in a solved state. You can impress your friends with a solved Rubik's Cube, and they'll just assume you know how to solve it. It's really helpful. Lindsay, what do you think? They sent you one of these last week, right?
Honestly, puts all my fears to the wayside, because I always wanted a Rubik's Cube for a little desk toy or something, but I was always scared someone was going to come by and scramble it. So now I don't have to fear it, because it will already be solved and unable to be scrambled. And it's just been a relief to finally get the desk toy of my dreams and without any fear that I previously had.
And you know, it's been great for me, because in the past, when I would try and convince people I'm smart, they just wouldn't believe me because I couldn't solve a Rubik's Cube. But now I just have a solved Rubik's Cube ready to show them. And they're like, hey, maybe this guy is smart. And so it's really changed the way my social life has worked.
Wow.
What's the organization that only accepts you if you have a really high IQ?
Mensa.
Yeah. It's an instant ticket into Mensa. But anyway, pre-solved Rubik's Cube doesn't endorse that. We can't officially say that, but you know it to be true. Pick up a pre-solved Rubik's Cube today at your local Walmart. All right, but anyway, oh my goodness. These transitions are fire today.
So, anyways.
Shut up. Fire transition. You ready for this? Acquired savant syndrome. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. a savant is basically an basically a genius, but an expert in many fields. Normal savant syndrome happens in people who are autistic, and they have really enhanced abilities in certain fields. But there's something called acquired savant syndrome that happens to non-autistic individuals, resulting from brain damage, but they then acquire the savant syndrome. And so the manifestations fall into one of the five categories, or it could be more, but it's specifically there's music, usually piano, there's calendar calculating, there's mathematics, there's art, and spatial or mechanical skills. And so, and then less common, but by the way, all of this is from braininjurylawcenter.com. Less common skills include perfect appreciation of time without a clock, incredible knowledge in fields such as statistics or neurophysiology, language facility, and strange sensory discrimination in touch, vision, or smell. But anyway, so to give you an example, Orlando Sorrell at 10 years old was hit by a baseball in the head while playing with friends, and he had intense headaches for a while, but then once they cleared, he could recall events of his life with perfect recollection. And then another guy, this one's not on the website, but I just knew about him. I forgot his name, but he was in a bar fight and someone knocked him out and he hit his head on the concrete, and he acquired the ability to do mental calculations of basically any size within less than seconds, becoming a human calculator. Like, what do you think about this?
It sounds like it sounds almost like you've heard you've probably heard stories of like someone gets struck by lightning and then like some physical ailment they had was just like gone.
I've not heard of that, and I am very interested in looking that up later.
And I don't know if those are real stories, but like I. You know, at the very least, I've like been told a story like that, or like actually, this is another thing that I've heard, but I don't know if it's real or not. But like, if someone loses or like if someone doesn't have good hearing, their like other senses are like better. You know, like if something happened, you went deaf, like you would have better eyesight or like something like that.
Because
I guess your brain allocates some resources to the other senses or something like that.
There was some blind person who could use echolocation to ride a bike.
I was just going to say, I remember seeing a video about a person riding a bike with echolocation. Is that real?
I don't know the guy, it's pretty easily faked.
So like...
Could be. I don't know. I'd like to believe.
I'd also like to believe, so I'm not going to look it up.
I will say have you guys seen...
To all our listeners, that's a real story that actually happened. Man uses echolocation to ride bike around town. He's blind.
Have you guys seen Rookie of the Year?
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Basically, a kid breaks his arm and the tendons fuse in a weird way, and suddenly the 12-year-old can throw a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. And so he ends up joining like a major league baseball team, and kind of reminds me of that too. Man, we got all sorts of tie-ins this episode. But anyway, it's just such an interesting concept of you being injured pretty severely, but then you coming out with incredible abilities. It's literally a superhero or a comic book story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of
It does sound like. All of these instances are like, this is a superhero origin story.
Mm-hmm. The Rookie of the Year is a movie, though. I don't know. Maybe it's based on a true story. Definitely not. But
all of these stories are 100% true and impossible to make.
Don't look them up.
Yes. Which
I think there was one guy who fought like three hawks, and like a hawk happened to like embed himself in his side, and he started growing feathers, and he could fly.
Intriguing.
Wow. I bet he got made fun of.
Not trying to claim that I am a psychologist or know a lot about a brain, but is there like a specific part of the head that gets hit?
It's a good That's a really good question. Such a good question you have there. That it's got an answer. You're probably wondering.
Because my
So what that answer?
My response will be: do either of you want to hit me on that certain part of my head?
Well, so that disclaimer, it says that it's less than 1% of people who experience traumatic brain trauma.
Do not hit your head.
I could get hit in the head 100 times.
I mean, I've been hit on the head a lot, and I didn't get any special abilities, but I also didn't get any head injuries. So,
yeah, I don't. Like, honestly, I was going to make that joke, but I didn't know if it would be in poor taste. But, that would just be the sick, especially the bar fight one guy, because apparently he was also I'm recalling from a long time ago, but he was apparently bad at school and was always really bad at math. And so can you imagine getting in a fight and then blacking out? And when you wake up, suddenly you are in the top. More than the top 1% of people
in the world. It all makes sense now.
Probably top 10 people in the world who can do math.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that, because it probably transfers through in some degree, but anytime you watch videos of people who are human calculators, they'll have the crowd give them numbers and they try and do it faster than they can put it in the calculators. Say this guy had only done school through algebra 2, and so he could do some pretty impressive stuff in his head really fast, but then let's say he goes on and he starts taking calculus and differential equations. Can he also do all of that in his head really fast as well if he's learning it after the fact?
I feel like without knowing anything, also another thing, it said easy computation of prime numbers, but it's hard because it depends on what you mean by what's meant by calculations, because I don't know.
Well, because a lot of the skills to do multiplication,
it's more so manipulation.
And, even if you don't have values, even if you don't have known values you're working with, you're doing the same things to the unknowns that you would do to knowns.
I almost feel like the person who gained the spatial skills would be better at it, just because if you can visualize the manipulation of the equation,
I mean, that's helpful for sure.
Yeah, but so let's say, which one would you prefer to get? So you got music, calendar calculations, mathematics, art, or spatial or mechanical skills? And the parentheses for that is accurately measuring distances without any tools.
Okay, I was gonna say suddenly you understand how machines, you can look at something and you how this works.
You become a technopath.
Yes. I don't know. I think art skills would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think just the piano skills would be pretty cool, even though it'd be more not as useful. I think it'd still be fun.
Are you kidding me? You could make so much money with music. I'd totally choose music just because I know enough mathematics, and it'd be super cool to calculate stuff instantaneously, and it would be it'd be incredibly useful in my field, but I feel like I'd rather diversify my portfolio.
But the cool music. Thing with art, you can make money with music, but the cool thing with art is you can also make a lot of money off of it if you especially if you combine it with other skills. If you know how to make something visually pleasing and you combine that with say woodworking skills,
it specifies painting, sculpting, and drawing. Sculpting, woodworking, more
sculpting
or less.
Drawing, you could do let's just stick with the theme of woodworking, you could stencil and stuff, you could do burn drawings on them, stuff like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's also woodworking is a way of sculpting.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any art people that would get upset by that. Lindsay, what you got?
people make some pretty artful things out of like all kinds of materials, wood included. I don't personally see how that could be like offensive, but maybe let us know. Let us know if we just ruined your day.
All right. So Lindsay, my next one is, so I recently got a dog and we had to go buy a bag of dog food. And I was thinking, like, so say, assume that the, like, that bag will last my dog, let's say 6 months, maybe a year. How big of a bag do you think it would take to get like one big bag of food for a person? So 6 months or a year, like how big of a bag, like, you know, like one average dog bag.
Okay, you just said substance and sustenance, but you like changed back to substance. We're going with substance.
The same food. However, like, I maybe both terms would work, but
so like, well, like there's little like little pieces of food that, like, so like dog food, and you're saying there's now human food. How big of a bad would feed us for 6 months?
So it's like, it's gonna be the same thing. It's gonna give you the nutrients you need, but how big of a bag would it be? Like,
I think the easiest thing
to be
healthy,
comfortable.
Well, okay,
like,
to be healthy,
like a normal level of eating, like I eat right now, to be healthy. Okay.
So there's something called Soylent that like someone made. It's named after Soylent Green, but basically it's a shake that has all the needed nutrients you need. And he tested it on himself. He had only that for 30 days or maybe longer, but like he was fine. So you could go with that drink, and I think he just drank three a day. And so you would just need to calculate like for 6 months. How much of that stuff?
Sure.
Let me look.
But we also.
I'm gonna annoy the audience by clicking. Don't mind me.
I feel like if I ever did a shake diet or like a liquids only diet, I would still like try and throw a solid at every meal, because I feel like that would be uncomfortable on the stomach to only have liquids on it all the time.
Yeah, I would imagine it'd be some kind of like stew would probably be. The best, like, same course be good in that kind of sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure, like, it's not, like, bad for your body or anything to only do that. As long as it's getting nutrients. But, like, I don't know. I'll just throw, like, a sausage in there or something.
Yeah, because, like, obviously, like, if you compare it to the dog, you still get water. So, like, in theory, like, if you did go the food route, you could still get a liquid. It's just... like if you wanted more than just like more sustenance than water gives, you would have to like switch it over.
Yeah. If we're going off, like, I'm just going to assume you mix it like you would mix a protein shake. Like, you could probably live for 6 months off of, all right, hold on. If you take...
So I've done the calculations. Sure.
how many meals does one bag of nutrient shake get you?
Well, so I did it like mixed, right?
Should we Fermi estimate it?
I debated on whether doing Fermi estimate, but I did legitimate calculations.
But
so
should me and Lindsay Fermi estimate it?
Oh, sure.
What units are we going for?
Well, so I have it in liters and gallons.
Okay, so volume.
Yeah.
You would have to.
All right. Wait, volume of powder or volume of shake?
Volume of shake.
Okay.
So I'm just going to assume, like, I don't know conversions very well, but I'm just going to assume a standard proportion is 8 ounce, like, drink. That's a pretty standard, like, drink. So if we need to round it to a 10, a multiple of 10, then I guess 10 to the 1.
I would think.
Also, to help you guys out, one liter. Oh, hold on. It goes the other way. Well, I can tell you one fluid ounce is 0.0295 liters.
All right. I think I think a serving size of like a shake, if it's in like a protein shake thing, I would think it's closer to like 24.
24. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking more so like
33 ounces in a liter.
I was kind of thinking that like my picture of what Brent was describing was probably much more dense stuff. So, but I guess protein shakes are pretty dense already.
Maybe.
So I'll go. No, we can go with what you're saying.
Well, I'm just thinking of like the typical, you know, like the bottles people get, like the blend bottles.
Yeah.
That silver ball in it that you shake around. I'm picturing that. I'm trying to think how many ounces that is. I'm looking at my mason jar.
I'm guessing it's probably, you're probably right, like between 20 and 30.
So let's say 20. We'll get a low estimate and then a high estimate. And then we can do 30. And then we'll just kind of figure out which one we want to do. So like 20 ounces, three times a day. So that's 60 times 30.
6 times 10 to the 1 and 3 times 10 to the 1. Come on, use the stuff.
6 times 10 to the 1 and 3 times 10 to the 1. So we have 1.8 times 10 to the 2 times 10 to the 2.
10 to the 3, right? Because your 3 times 6 became 18. And then you move the decimal point. So you got
1.8 times 10 to the 1. Wait, what did I say?
You said 10 to the 2. It's 10 to the 3.
Well, yeah, 10 to the 1 times 10 to the 2 is 10 to the 3. I think I did say 10 to the 2. But, all right. So 1.8 times 10 to the
3.
Stop interrupting me, Brent. So that's, what was that, for one day? And then times 30. So like, or 3 times 10 to the 1. No,
you already multiplied by 30.
I don't know. I'm going to say 300,000 million bajillion because Brent keeps interrupting my flow.
All right. Well, no, so like, I'll help you guys out because like, I want you guys to work on it. I'll do the math. Cause so you multiplied by 30 before you multiplied by 3.
Oh wait. Cause I already got to 60. That was my like daily thing. Okay. I'm with it. So 1.8 times 10 to the 3 is for a month and that's in ounces. So, 10 to the 3 for the low estimate. And then if we did 90 times 30.
I did this for 6 months, by the way.
Same thing. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, okay. So, 10 to the 4. I think 10 to the 4 for the low and high estimate. So.
And that's in fluid ounces?
Yeah.
You're going to make me do a calculation.
Yeah.
Because I had it in liters. All right. So it is 1.2 times 10 to the 4.
There you go. That's a Fermi estimate.
Yeah. So... good job. But if you only speak American, it's 95 gallons. Is there any like everyday item that you could appreciate to 95 gallons?
How big is a standard like trash can?
Kitchen trash can's 13 gallons.
So yeah. It would be like 9, 8 of those, right?
Like 7 or 8.
Yeah, a little over 7, I think.
But anyway, so let's just say 7 trash cans. Can you imagine if someone, so like, let's say it's a delivery service and they came to your door and like just outside your door, there were 7 trash cans full of a white chunky liquid.
All right, reverse hypothetical, like surprise mini hypothetical for the qualgorithm. Dogs are actually the more intelligent species, and they own humans. and they leave out food for 6 months because they're going on vacation.
Well, that's quite the sabbatical they're going on.
Yeah. And so they leave you 8 trash cans of food.
And they give you a ladle, right? And you just have to ladle out of the trash can. Your daily dose of milk milkshake. But it's not milkshake. You will not enjoy it. Actually, apparently, like, all the things I've read about it have said that it's not that bad. And, like, they didn't grow tired of the taste after however. Like,
well, yeah, to some extent, your body's going to be craving that because it has all the nutrients you need. So if it needs any of those nutrients, it's probably going to crave it at least a little bit if you're hungry. So,
but so I feel like there's a difference between being hungry and then, like the taste.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that they're, like... It's the same thing. I just think that,
like, my body craves for vegetables. I don't want.
I think they, like, and that's in your situation. You're telling me that vegetables do not sound any more desirable, like even slightly, if you're craving them, or if you think your body could use them. Interesting. I feel like it helps me.
Brussels sprouts never sound good. Okay,
but like you never think carrots or green beans or peas or something.
Okay, but the thing is I have to already like the vegetable a little bit.
Okay.
And if I get hungry enough, then sure. I want it.
I feel like you can make most vegetables taste good in something.
This is untrue. Have you ever heard of this thing called Brussels sprouts?
Yeah. I've had Brussels sprouts and thought they were terrible.
A decent amount of people say they like those.
This is a false fact.
It's just like, there's like a stigma to it. I do not enjoy them, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah, one of my roommates makes Brussels sprouts somewhat frequently. I like it, but all right. I think we got time for like one last one.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you want to throw in the bombastic quote before you do so?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and do that. Do that now. So. The bombastic quote of today is, if flavor were predictable, it would cease to be flavor and be without flavor. Now, that somewhat ties into my last thing. And something I realized today while I was trying to think of stuff for the Qualgorithm is, like, at the very least, the, like, niche news cycle kind of repeats itself a little bit in instances. And it's because I came across an article about a woman who vowed to quit fast food after finding a McDonald's burger she'd kept for 5 years. And I'm not even going to go that into the details of the article because it's the same as every other time I've seen this article. Like, oh, she kept the cheeseburger. She found it. Like, she kept it as a science experiment. And 5 years later, it was just rock hard. It otherwise didn't look any different. What kind of preservatives are they putting in McDonald's? And I just feel like I've read this exact story, just told it a slightly different way.
I would agree.
I like love so the idea like that
at least four other times.
I love the idea that we have developed preservatives strong enough to preserve food indefinitely.
And with that, we can become immortal if you eat McDonald's.
But honestly, those stories never scare me. They honestly just excite me. They're like, holy crap, like, are we close to being able to never have expiring food?
Yeah,
like that would solve a lot of problems if we could have, like, if that McDonald's burger were still edible. Like, we can solve world hunger.
That'd be a good question, but I think unfortunately, anytime something like this happens, McDonald's just comes out with a statement like, we don't use preservatives in our 100% USDA inspected beef, this, that, the other. And so if they are pumping their food with preservatives, they're never going to reveal their secrets because it would be bad for business. And that is the state of the absolute state of the world.
All right, McDonald's.
In that sense, it's a little scary.
McDonald's, I'm addressing you now. All the other listeners have tuned away. All right, so here's what you do, right? You buy a subsidiary. And so with this subsidiary, you give them your secret preservative recipe formula thingy. Thingamadoohickey, and like this company's mission is to like solve the spoiling food, like solve food from spoiling, and so
and they get a big grant from the U.S.
Exactly, and bada bing, bada boom, you're now Uber number one fast food. They're probably, who do you think is number one fast food like grossing?
Ooh, okay. I think hold on, I know
Subway.
I remember,
and McDonald's have like
years
the,
ago Subway
yeah have the most locations. I don't know about revenue, but location wise I think Subway's the top.
I feel like someone took over from Subway, though. But I might just be making that up in my head.
Yeah. But
I will say, I think this is all U.S. I think this is only U.S., this list I have.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, give me your number one guess.
Chick-fil-A might be up there now. No, they're not that excessive.
I'll just stick with Subway.
I think I want to stick with Subway as well.
Okay, Subway is number six.
In terms of what? In terms of revenue? In terms of locations?
Yeah, U.S. sales, billions of dollars. They're at $10 billion. This is 2019. Wendy's is just below them at seven. But anyway, so five, Burger King. That surprises me. I don't believe people actually go to Burger King, but I'll go with it. Whatever, fine. Four, Taco Bell. Not very surprising. That makes sense, right? This is from visualcapitalist.com, by the way. Number three, Chick-fil-A, sitting at $11 billion.
I would not have thought of this.
Yeah. Well, so Taco Bell's also at 11, Burger King's at 10.3. And so Starbucks is number two.
Didn't consider that.
I wouldn't have even thought of Starbucks. Exactly.
I wouldn't. I guess they have food on the menu. So maybe they could be considered
fast food. And they have a drive-thru. Yeah. Right? I feel like.
Define fast food.
Drive-thru.
But sure. Starbucks number two.
Starbucks is at 21.55 billion. So almost double Chick-fil-A, which is number three. And number one, you'll never believe it, McDonald's, sitting at a cool 40.41 billion.
Good lord.
Okay. So maybe the stat I saw was like number of stores.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think it's even internationally. I think Subway has a majority of them. Their highest rank.
That would surprise me. McDonald's pretty big all over the world.
Eight Dunkin', 9 Domino's, and 10 Panera Bread.
Yeah, Panera Bread's popping off.
St. Louis Bread Co.
Shout out. But quick side offer that Brent made to McDonald's. Mine is you make a subsidiary and you call it No Preservatives. So when you have to go on the record and they're like, use preservatives, you can say we use no preservatives in our food.
That's
the name of the preservative.
Yeah. That would be easier. That's market manipulation at its finest. But that's enough math and market research tips for you today. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and follow. Really helps us out. Like Lindsay mentioned last week, if you missed it, we are officially at over 3,000 listens from podcasting sources, which is pretty dang big. We appreciate you. Final thoughts, Lindsay.
Don't know.
You guys know it's coming every time. Like,
I always have a little something.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel does fine, but I feel like
he doesn't have to have final thoughts. There's nothing. Then,
yeah. That's the thing.
Is
like, do you want me to save the material? Or I say.
Then
otherwise?
I want you to say I have no final thoughts.
Okay, so it's not implied that I need final thoughts.
You also put him on the spot. I feel like you just be like, any final thoughts, and then if someone does, they just kind of talk. And then they talk over each other, and then it's like, you know. And then we get in a fight. And then that draws in the viewers. Fights bring viewers, Brent.
Well, but, I don't agree. No, let's wrap this up. Final thoughts.
I just yelled right into my mic, so that'll have to be fixed in edit. That's my final thought. That's going to be fixed in edit.
Neato.
So it won't. What I just said sounded loud. Won't sound loud to you.
Cool. Shout out to Mom. Thanks for listening. Will Smith, come to the podcast. You know the drill, Will Smith, who listens regularly. But with that. Have a bombastic week. We'll catch you next time.